Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and it is time for all of us to fall in for quarters for muster. And this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon, broadcasting live, unrehearsed and unscripted, from the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio on the magical Isle of Vashon, 101.9 on the FM band, and Voice of Vashon streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden on the other, of which Stockholm is the capital. Voiceofvashon.org is how you reach me to listen if you are not able to pick up the live signal on the FM band, because I think it's only a few watts, and it is because it's FM, it's line of sight. It doesn't even get to down in the valley where Captain's quarters are. My greetings today go out to all of Captain Joe's people who are traveling as part of the Thanksgiving week. I am myself taking departure tonight. I am flying, as is my custom and is my wish whenever I can organize it, to fly through the night. I sleep just fine on airplanes, especially in the front of the aircraft. And that is also because the head is close aboard. All of Captain Joe's people who are traveling to see loved ones, family, friends, shipmates, classmates. In my own case, I'm going to spend the Thanksgiving holiday with my newly widowed sister Lib in Essex Junction, Vermont. The way you get to Essex Junction, Vermont from the magical Isle of Vashon is that you first of all work your way to SeaTac. And there you engage a seat in a United Airlines aircraft that goes, in the first case, to that most miserable of airports, Newark. Although it must be honestly and faithfully reported that United is working hard to develop a hub, a real United hub in Newark. And I think their plan is to separate themselves from LaGuardia and from Kennedy. In any case, I go tonight, fly through the night, and arrive in Newark tomorrow morning. And I then sprint. Picture me sprinting these days. From one terminal to another, because you still have to do that, and you do it by getting on a shuttle bus. And I only have an hour and 10 minutes to do it if the plane is on time. If it's not, I am probably SOL. And then I get on a United flight in an Embraer. If it is one of the small Embraers, what a miserable aircraft that is. Not particularly well cleaned, but that's how you do it. So you go from Newark to Burlington, Vermont. And then from Burlington, Vermont, I pick up a rental car, and I drive to Essex Junction, Vermont, and spend some time with my much-loved family. So those are my greetings today to all of my people, all of Captain Joe's people who are traveling. Be kind and good to yourself. Be kind and good to the people who take care of you as you make your journeys. In particular, I try to be kind and good to the flight crew that takes care of all of us. Every now and then, we get an aircraft commander or an XO, first officer in airline language, who put the aircraft down pretty hard in their enthusiasm for being a in their enthusiasm for getting us to our place on time, or maybe even a little bit early. I hope they're going to be a little bit early into EWR, which is the airline code for Newark. That'll give me just a little bit more time to get to that other terminal. So be kind and good to all of the people around you. If you are going to a place and are going to be with people for whom you are responsible and accountable, as I am, then be especially kind and good to them, and especially if they also are just pulling themselves off of a grounding, shoal water. The medical list this week is mostly good. Everybody that is on it is getting better. I had promised last week that I was not going to say any more about my own situation until there was either something to report or I had had another time with my physician who is overseeing this particular adventure. But I have to point out one thing, and that is this, and that there were two pages of side effects that came with the medication. And I said, well, I'm not going to allow any of those side effects to kick in because I just have got too much to do. Places to go, people to see, and I just don't have the time. And now I don't have the energy because one of the side effects is lethargy. Not acceptable to your captain and certainly not going to be allowed to continue. I haven't quite figured it out yet. I don't know what the answer is, but whatever the answer is, I am going to take it. And I have found it took 4 days for this particular effect to kick in, and when it did, it kicked in with a vengeance. So I've got to figure out how to not allow this to happen because I just don't have the time for it to happen. And I will next week, because next week I'll be broadcasting live from someplace on the East Coast. I'll let you know how my imposition of my will over my body works out. There are a couple of things that I want to bring up having in connection with my birthday celebration, which I didn't get to last week or that I should have said something about but did not. The first one is that the food service, I know I mentioned that it was being done by a lovely family of Filipino people, and I want to once again say what a wonderful job they did. And the same thing is true of the bakery that did the cake. The top part of the cake was a scale model of my Northwind. Absolutely stunning, absolutely beautiful. And so beautiful that I said, we're not going to cut into that part of the cake. We're going to cut all around it. And I'm going to see whether or not the bakery, which is owned by a former Coast Guardsman, a former guardian, whether they'd like to have it back with a suitable ceremony. And at that suitable ceremony, I would make a presentation and I would do a little thank you for them. Haven't heard back from them yet, but I think we're going to make this happen. The other part of my birthday was that one of my road family, Pat and Skip, gave me as a gift a visit to Polar Star. And Polar Stars was then getting ready to deploy back to Antarctica for the next deep freeze. And a painfully young ensign was our tour guide. He was the public affairs officer. That was his, one of his collateral duties. And he did just a wonderful, wonderful job. And I got to pontificate at great length, talking to him, first of all, because Polar Star had worked for me when I was the ICE boss for Commandant Jim Gracie, Admiral Gracie. And also because one of my classmates had been her first XO and then had later commanded her himself. So I have a very deep connection and a great fondness for Polar Star. Even though I did not personally command her myself, I commanded her commanding officer when I was the ICE boss. And so it was a glorious, glorious day. And one of the things that we did was I got to inspect most of the ship. I found that I can still go up and down the ladders. I told the story of how you slide down long ladders by picking your feet up and just sliding down the handrails. And, of course, you can't do this if the handrails have been made up with fancy work. Some of them in Polar Star have been, and some of them were not. But I decided that the discretion was the better part of valor, and I did not try to replicate my ability many years ago to slide down into the fire room in Ingham. Those of you who have served in that class, and especially those of you who have been with me in Ingham, and there are some of you out there who do, who are, will recall that to get down into the fire room, there is a very long ladder. And the rails to that particular in that are connected to that ladder in Ingham had not been served with fancy work. And so the trick was that to make a fast descent into the fire room, you would slide down on the rails, your feet not touching the treads. I decided not to replicate that in Polar Star. My guide was really happy that but I told him the story. So one of the places that we inspected was the forward hold. And I told him that his supply officer, his messmate in the wardroom, was loading Polar Star for a year. And that she was being loaded such that you ate your way through the way the ship had been stowed. Now, I'm not sure that he believed everything that I was telling him. But I told him that part with such a sense of integrity and honesty that he had to believe it, because that is exactly how we loaded my Northwind. We loaded her for a year in case she became beset. And we loaded her in the order in which, in the inverse order, in which we were going to work our way through the commissary stores. And my people who came with me were two of my road family, and they were people who had never been to sea, had never been in one of these ships before. And I said that the person who is in charge of retrieving those stores and issuing them out to the various messes, the captain's mess, the chief's mess, the crew's mess, of issuing out to the various messes in the ship is called the Jack of the Dust. I thought that maybe my young ensign friend, now firmly one of Captain Joe's people, had never heard the expression before, but he indeed had. And so it warmed the cockles of this old sea captain's heart to realize that at least one ancient tradition was being followed. The name of the person who draws the stores and gets them to the various messes is indeed called the Jack of the Dust. Which takes me to the book for today. The book for today is called Jack Tar and the Baboon Watch. It is authored by Captain Frank Lanier, who, according to the very brief biography in the book itself, is a former Coast Guard officer. He and I never sailed together. I don't know who he is. But there are some really interesting things in this particular book. He proclaims that it is not intended to be a glossary of nautical terms, but a glossary of nautical terms that have interesting stories connected with them, and some of the stories are indeed very interesting. So in his introduction, he has written this. Jack Tar, which is the name of the book, was written for the reader who wants to know the rest of the story, like how the Amazon River came to be named after the one-breasted warrior women of Greek mythology, or maybe why Titanic was possibly the worst name ever for a ship, even before the disaster. So the book itself has a number of really interesting articles in it, and the I'm going to quote from one particular one because it has to do with Antarctica. Polar Star is headed toward Antarctica. And the article is the first ships to cross the Antarctic Circle. These would be Resolution and Adventure, the two ships used by Captain James Cook during his second voyage of discovery to the Antarctic in search of the Great Southern Continent. Incidentally, up until fairly recently, and maybe even still today if I get the right edition, the British Admiralty chart of Antarctica had a legend up in the upper right-hand corner. And it said, based on the surveys conducted by Captain James Cook. So the ships were named Resolution and Adventure, had gone through several other names before they would have, before they were named Resolution and Adventure. And they were not particularly large. And so Captain Lanier goes on to say, the Cook crossed the circle on January 17th, 1773. The expedition was completed in July 1775. That's how long it's been since people, sailors, mariners, navigators, pilots, have been going to Antarctica, having lasted a total of 3 years and 18 days. The first steamship to cross the Antarctic Circle was the British ship Challenger during its 1872-1876 voyage. The first truly scientific expedition to Antarctica that yielded, among other things, the earliest photographs of icebergs. So this is the kind of thing that you get in Jack Tar and the Baboon Watch. It includes the term Jack of the Dust, and it includes one of my favorite terms, and I use it frequently, the term skylarking. And the definition that Captain Lanier uses is the nautical term skylarking, a form of amusement in which seamen climb to the highest point possible on the mast and slid down the rigging. We used to do that in Eagle. I suspect that it is now prohibited, and that the extension of the term in which seamen climbed to the highest point possible and slid down the rigging now means any kind of fooling around. My grandchildren, and now my great-grandchildren, know the term skylarking. So that's my book for today, Jack Tar and the Baboon Watch. The subtitle is A Guide to Curious Nautical Knowledge for Landlubbers and Sea Lawyers Alike by Captain Frank Lanier. And I recommend it, and am now going to tell you a story about how your captain in earlier times, in a form of skylarking, did not do very well. And it's a story that was told by someone who was reading from a paper that my sister Lib had sent, and it has to do with Barbie's dream house. I've talked before on this broadcast, this program, of my relationship with alcoholic beverages and how I was an enthusiastic participant in that particular activity. I never drank at sea, but I ashore, when I was on authorized liberty, I was a healthy participant. One Christmas, this was in my third tour. My first tour, of course, was in Winnebago, going out to Ocean Station Victor, double Victors to Japan, and then back out on station, and then back to Hawaii. That was my first tour. My second tour was my first command, when I was the captain in the vessel that came to be named Cape Newhagen. And my third tour was a penitential tour to Coast Guard headquarters, 4 long years. And during that time, I bought my first home in Falls Church. Those of you who are familiar with the Northern Virginia part of the world know where Falls Church is, and I bought my home there. I paid $15,000 for a house and a lot, about a quarter of an acre lot. That little house is still there. I think that it is a lot more than $15,000. But I occasionally, whenever I'm in Northern Virginia, I go and inspect the house that I went into the service from, which was my mother's house in North Arlington, and then I go by the house in Falls Church. One Christmas, I had bought an unassembled Barbie's dream house, and my brother-in-law, the one who died just a few weeks ago, and whose family I'm going to be with over Thanksgiving, he and my sister, Lib, had just gotten married, and they were staying with us for Christmas, and so it became necessary to assemble Barbie's dream house for my daughter, Laurie. It is a real kick in the butt when you realize that your children have lived long enough to be drawing Social Security themselves, and their spouses have retired. So anyway, this Barbie's dream house came in pieces. It had to be assembled. We read the instructions. And while we were reading the instructions, we began the consumption of some of my mother's eggnog. My mother's eggnog was and is a very powerful and potent, and I'm going to probably make some this year. I don't drink it myself anymore, but I will sample it, make sure that it is of sufficient quantity and quality. And so my brother-in-law, Jack, and I started working on Barbie's Dream House at the same time that we started working on my mother's eggnog. You can only predict how all of this turned out because as the consumption of Tootsie's eggnog carried on, the instructions for Barbie's Dream House became less and less clear. And by the time we got to the end of the construction project, it is my recollection that the fireplace ended up on the roof in the place of where the chimney should have been. And the chimney was nowhere to be found. Certainly, I'm going to say this, but it certainly should go without any saying that neither of our wives were particularly happy with us. And the next morning, when my daughter Laurie was presented with Barbie's Dream House with the fireplace in the wrong place, we had to do some major reconstruction work. I tell this story because your captain, up in the captain's chair, has not always been that sober fellow that you know. And should any of Captain Joe's people, and in fact, I've got one in my immediate family who is about to go into a treatment regime. And on that, does she have my blessing? Does she have my handout? And anybody else who might feel that it is time? Remember the story that I've told on this broadcast a number of times about how I came to that conclusion. If you find that it is your time to do this, you have my hand as well. So we've talked about the Jack of the Dust and we've talked about skylarking. Here's a little poem for you that I will explain what it means in a future broadcast. But there are a number of little verses that sailors have used for centuries. So here's one for you to listen to file away. And at some point, I will explain what it means. When you are working with a line, you worm and parcel with the lay, then you turn and serve the other way. Just put that one in your sea bag along with the close stops. And in a future broadcast, I will explain what that means. In the meantime, the thanks from your captain go out to all of Captain Joe's people who have sent me wonderful gifts, cards, letters, signals in celebration of my 90th birthday. Be firm in the conviction that it is not time for us, any of you, to be rehearsing the flag folding ceremony. We have a long way to go. Many things yet to do, and many turns of the propeller of life for all of us together. It is, again, far too early for us to come to the end of our half hour together. Know that all of you remain, as always, in the palm of my hand. Safe travels. Watch out for each other. Watch the six of those for whom you are responsible. We never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, this is your Captain Joe. I had a I didn't get to the magazine. It is the week, and it's a house in Cambridgeshire that goes back to the 1600s that we're going to buy together. In any case, this is your Captain Joe. We will meet again here next week. I will be broadcasting from someplace on the East Coast. It will be a post-Thanksgiving broadcast in which I will talk about the events connected with my visit with my family. And in the meantime, you have a wonderful, wonderful Thanksgiving time in which we are always reminded to be grateful for the people that love us and the people that we love. I am on station and watching properly.